2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8, and we'll read down to verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 down to 15. And if you have a Bible, I'd love to have you read along with us, and if you don't, the words will be on the screen. But we're going to read together verses 8 through 15 of 2 Corinthians. So let's read that together. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, and that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can come this morning. Lord, just thank you for the beautiful singing this morning, and what a powerful message in that song that the young ladies just sang. Lord, truly, we do stand amazed to think of what you have done for us, and that one day, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we have the privilege to look forward to being with you for all of eternity. And so, Father, we just want to say thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for your word and that you've given to us so that we might know how you want us to live our lives to bring honor and glory to you. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work, Lord, through the message now. Lord, use it to speak to our hearts and help us to be obedient and apply these truths that we find in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as we were looking last week, as we started kind of going through chapter 8 here, Paul begins dealing with an issue that a lot of times we don't like to talk about, and that is money. It's talking about giving, right? And again, Paul was trying to encourage the Corinthian church in the area of giving by showing them the example of the Macedonian churches. And again, we're not going to read verses 1 through 7 again, but you can go back and see how the churches of Macedonia, the Philippian church and the church of Thessalonica, the church of Berea, how the Bible says they were in deep poverty, they were in great affliction, and yet these churches were willing to give to help in the ministry. And they had very little, they were being persecuted, they were in poverty. And yet here the church of Corinth, who was not really being persecuted like they were, who was more affluent, they had much more, they were kind of a wealthier church, and yet they were not willing to give. And so Paul is trying to encourage them, he's reminding them about this area of giving, and he talks about it being grace. And we talked about that last week, how giving is a grace. It's a grace of God. Not that we just need grace for salvation, but even grace in giving. And he talked about that's how the churches of Macedonia were able to give through this grace giving, that God gave them this special grace. And even though they had very little and they were being persecuted, they were giving. And so Paul encourages the Corinthian church to abound in this area of giving, in grace. He says, look, you're abounding in everything else. He says, you're abounding in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and your love. And he says, but now see that you abound in this grace also. So we talked about the grace of giving last week. But this morning, I want us to look at some elements of giving. Some elements of giving. Because Paul gives some very insightful information here to this church of Corinth in the area of giving. And I want you to notice what he says here. Notice in verses 8 and 9, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So notice the first thing, this first element that Paul gives of giving is that giving proves our love. It proves our love, right? And this is what Paul is saying. He says, look, giving cannot be forced. He says, I'm not commanding you. He says, I speak not by commandment, right? Paul's not trying to lay the hammer down and say, hey, if you Corinthians don't give, then you're not right with God. You know, you've got to give. No, he's not commanding them to give. Okay, and we're going to see that this was not a command because a year earlier they had made a commitment to give, right? And so he's just reminding them of their commitment. He's reminding them, hey, you guys said you were going to give to help these believers, right? And again, if you remember, the Church of Jerusalem was really struggling. The Church of Jerusalem was under persecution from the Jews. There was a famine that was taking place during this time, and so a lot of the believers in Jerusalem were struggling. And so Paul was encouraging the churches that had been started to help these believers in Jerusalem. And so they had committed to give this amount, and now a year later, they hadn't done anything. And so Paul is saying, hey, this you have to understand, when we give, this idea of grace giving, it's proving our love when we give. Again, Paul's not saying, he says, I speak not by commandment. He said, this is not a command, right? He's not trying to command them. But Paul is not saying that there's some commandment that they have to give, but their giving proves their love. He says here, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, when we talk about love, right, you cannot talk about love without talking about giving. You can't do it, right? A love that does not give is simply love and word alone, right? And again, he uses this, what we would say is probably the greatest example of giving here. In verse number 9, he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He says, you think about what Jesus Christ has done. We know, the Bible tells us, that Jesus Christ left his home in heaven and he came to this earth. We know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? I mean, it's probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. Yet, if it would have just said, God so loved the world, and it stopped there, and there was nothing about giving his son, there was nothing about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, there's nothing about him providing a way of salvation, we would wonder, does God really love us? Why? Because there's no evidence of it. There's no proof of it, right? But he says the proof, the evidence of the love of God is that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what he says, that Jesus Christ, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Jesus Christ was willing to give of himself for others. His love for others was shown in that he gave. Now, if you think about this, I mean, there's no way we can describe heaven. There's just no way you can describe it, right? I do hope that we understand, right? And I know sometimes, you know, the world can try to, because the world, I think we understand, because the world does not have hope, they try to diminish. They try to diminish death. They try to even diminish heaven and hell and things like this, right? You know, so many times, you know, you hear of somebody dying. Well, now they've got their wings and now they're angels in heaven. No, they're not angels in heaven, right? We don't become angels. Angels are angels, right? I don't want to be an angel. I don't want to be an angel. God didn't create me to be an angel. God created me to be me, right? And praise God, I'm created in the image of God. They are not. I'm not an angel. I'm not going to be an angel, right? You know, people say, well, you know, if you're, you know, better learn how to play that harp because when you get to heaven, you'll be sitting on a cloud playing that harp, you know. Sorry, that's not what's going to happen, okay? Again, we kind of make light of heaven. But think about what he says here. Jesus Christ left heaven. Think about this. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. If you think about Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that God, he owns it all. Jesus Christ is the creator, right? We know he is the creator. He is the one that spoke all things into existence. He created everything. Jesus Christ is the creator. Everything belongs to him. Yet he says he was willing to become poor. Now, watch this. Jesus Christ owns everything, yet when he came to this earth, he literally had nothing. I mean, even where he was born was not a, it was not a fancy hospital. He was born in a manger, right? He was born in a place where they kept animals. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, you understand, Jesus, he didn't have anything. If you think about it, right? Jesus, in order to feed 5,000 people plus, Jesus had to borrow a little boy's lunch. It wasn't his lunch. He borrowed it from a little boy. Used it to feed 5,000 people plus. And then, of course, I believe that the little boy probably got a little bit of interest on that five loaves and two fish, right? You know, Jesus, everything that Jesus used here on the earth, ever thought about it? It was borrowed. The cross that he bore was not even a cross that was made for him. It was made for someone else. The tomb that he was buried in was borrowed from someone else. He became poor. Now, don't get this idea of, well, you know, if I don't sell everything and if I don't become poor and if I don't have anything and just walk the streets, then I'm not following what Jesus said. No, that's not what we're talking about. He's showing us what Jesus Christ was willing to give to show his love for us. He became poor, and this is what he says. Watch here. He says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was willing to become poor for us because of his love for us. Okay? And Paul is trying to remind the Corinthians, look, you guys have much. You guys have so much, and yet you're not willing to show your love to others by giving to help people in need. He says these other churches in Macedonia, he says they're proving their love. They're proving their love for God. And he says they first gave themselves to the Lord. That they showed, said, God, we're going to love you and we're going to trust you and we're going to give. And even though Paul tried to say, hey, no, you can't give. You guys need this. They said, no, you're not going to stop us from giving. That grace of God had been bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia in this area of giving. And he says, Corinthian church, you're missing something. You're missing something. You have much, but you're not willing to give. You see, a love that does not give is love in word only. Hold your place here and turn with me to the book of James real quick. In the book of James, chapter 2. James. Notice in James chapter 2. Notice in verse number 14. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He says, let me give you an example here. He says, what would happen if a brother or sister in Christ, and they are destitute, they have nothing, in fact, their clothes are basically falling off, they're so old and ragged, and they have no food, and they have no place to stay, and they're just in shambles, and their life, it just seems like it's a mess, and you see that they have a need, you see that they are destitute, you see what's going on in their life, and you just come up to them and say, depart in peace, be filled. In other words, he basically says, you come up to the same, God bless you, brother, I'm going to pray for you. He says, what good does that do to them? When you have the ability to help that person, you have the ability to maybe buy them some clothes, or you have the ability to give them some food, or you have the ability to help them in some way, and all you do is you just say, God bless you, brother, I'll pray for you. He said, that doesn't do anything for them. You have the opportunity, but yet instead of actually giving and showing your love, it's just in word only. You're just saying words. You're not really proving your love. I'm very thankful that Jesus, that the Father did not just say words, that he proved his love, that Jesus proved his love for us. Because think about it, our giving proves what we value most. What we give to proves what we value most. Do we value ourselves most, or do we value God most? Do we value others, or is it just about self? Again, we're going through the book of Matthew on Wednesday nights, and I'd love to have you come on Wednesday nights as we study through the book of Matthew on the King and Kingdom. But you think about, and again, this is a I would say probably a very famous verse, but the disciples are all concerned about the physical things. They're all concerned about food, and they're concerned about clothing and what's going to happen and all these things. And Jesus says, hold on a second, guys. Here's the most important thing you need to be worried about. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, as Christians, so many times we've got it backwards. We're seeking all the things that we think we need, and we're seeking God last. And God says, no, you got it backwards. You're supposed to seek me first. Remember, in fact, what is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says there should be no other God before him. You say, well, I don't have any other gods. I wonder, and please, we're not going to do this, but if we were to look at your bank account and we were to look at your giving records, I wonder where we would see the most of your giving going to. Now, I know that, you know, obviously people have to pay a mortgage and they have to pay things like that, food and things, and the ratio may not be there. But is there anything in there giving to God? Is there any desire to give to the things of God? Is there any desire for God, or is it all just for me? Because again, where we give shows again where our heart is. That's what Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? What are we doing in this area of giving? The greatest example of giving, Jesus Christ. And when we give, understand, and this is what Paul is saying, our giving reflects the gospel to the world. Our giving reflects who we love more. Our giving reflects that we want other people to know about Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul says, hey, this church in Macedonia, think about this. This is almost 2,000 years later, give or take. Maybe not quite 2,000 years, but just approximately 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the giving that these churches in Macedonia did. We're still talking about these churches that were so poor, so destitute, and impoverished, and persecuted, and yet they had the grace of giving. Because they had a love for God and a love for others. They wanted other people to know about Jesus Christ. They wanted to help their brothers and sisters in Christ. If they were in need, they wanted to help them. I wonder where would we stand in this aspect of this element of giving? Because where our giving is going does reflect what we value most. And so we see the first thing, this giving proves our love. It proves our love, and he uses Jesus Christ as the example here, and he says that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. I don't know, did you notice in the song that the ladies were singing just a minute ago, it talks about how that we get to be in heaven, we get to be with the Father for eternity. Can I tell you something? That's pretty wealthy right there. That's pretty rich, that we get to be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And yet, he did that for us. What would we be willing to do for him? What would we be willing to give so that others could know about Jesus Christ? What would we be willing to do to help meet the need of others? And here's what he says next. Here's the second element. Not only does giving prove our love, but he says, don't just say it, do it. Again, notice with me in verse number 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He says, don't just say you're going to do it, do it. Don't just say you're going to show love to these believers, do it. Don't just say you're going to give, do it. Again, notice they had made a commitment a year ago. They'd made this commitment a year ago, he says, right? He says, you had begun before, not only do, but also to be forward a year ago. He said, you had made this commitment. You heard about this need a year ago. You heard about what was going on a year ago. And you said, we're going to have a part. You said, we're going to help to meet this need. You said, we're going to do this. And it's been a year, Paul said, and you haven't done anything. It's just words. You're not willing to put it into action. Now, again, I know money is always a touchy subject, right? It's always a touchy subject. We always, don't talk about money, things like that. But it's interesting how many verses in Scripture deal with money. A lot of verses in Scripture deal with money, with finances, possessions, things like that, right? And it seems the reason why we don't really like to talk about it is because it seems like we never have enough. Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone that has just said, I think I have enough. I don't need any more. I've got enough. You know anybody like that? I've never met anybody like that. I don't need anything more. I just have enough. I know you want to give me a raise. I don't want to take that raise. I have enough. No. Oh, yeah, I know you want to give me that, but no, I don't. I have enough. No, we're like, I'll take the raise, I'll take it, I'll take whatever you're giving, it seems like we never have enough, right? Especially if you have teenagers. If you have teenagers, there's never enough, right? I mean, seems like you put the groceries in the fridge and you come out the next morning and they're all gone, right? It's like, where'd they go, right? There's never enough. But we don't like to talk about money, but yet God speaks about giving so much. And even I know some people that, that don't think it's right to ask for a Christian to make a commitment to give a certain amount or something like that. But here's the thing. We have no problem making a commitment to a bank. We have no problem making a commitment for a house. We have no problem making a commitment for a car. We have no problem making a commitment for appliances and furniture and things like that. But yet when it comes to things of God, it's like, okay, no, I don't think I can make a commitment to God. No, wait a minute, hold on. Doesn't it seem like we've got it backwards a little bit? We can make a commitment to anything that the world has, but yet when it comes to things of God, we don't want to make a commitment, right? No, this is what he's saying. You made a commitment a year ago to do this. You made this commitment, and you haven't fulfilled it. You haven't performed the doing of it, right? Paul said they had made this commitment, and now he says they needed to follow through on it. But here's the thing that I think is very interesting about this passage. Sometimes we talk about commitments and giving and things like this. But notice what he says in verse number 12. He says, for if there first be a willing mind, right? And may I say, here's one of the reasons why many Christians are not content with what they have, with what God has blessed them, because they don't have a willing mind to give when God says to give. The Bible says, and Paul says to Timothy, but godliness and contentment is great gain, right? To be able to be content and say, hey, Lord, I'm satisfied with what I have. If you want to give me more, praise the Lord. If you don't, praise the Lord, I'm satisfied, whatever. But so many of us, we're not content because we're not willing to actually do what God wants us to do in this area of giving. We struggle with this so often, this topic of giving. And again, I mentioned this last week. I don't talk a lot about giving. That's not one of the things I do because our church is a very giving church and, in missions and so many different things. But we're just going through the passages here as we go through 2 Corinthians. But there are certain things that God sets a specific amount for. We understand that, right? God sets specific amounts for certain things, right? Obviously, one of those, we would say, is the tithe. We know that God sets the amount of the tithe. God says it doesn't matter who you are as a Christian, the tithe belongs to God. And, of course, we know the tithe is just 10%, right? So if somebody makes, $500 a week or somebody makes $1,000 a week, the tithe is the same, right? It's the same. Whether it's $50 or $100, it's the same. It's 10%. Right? God has set that. That belongs to God, right? And so we see that there are things that God has set a specific amount for. But other than the tithe, there really isn't another specific financial amount that God commands us to give as far as a specific amount. Now, there's specific things he tells us to do. Every one of us ought to be reading the Bible, right? That's for every Christian. Every one of us ought to be being a witness for Jesus Christ. That's for every Christian, right? But as far as in the area of giving, other than the tithe is the only thing that really is a specific amount that God sets for every person. And this is why he says this. There first must be a willing mind. He says, it is accepted according to the man hath and not according to that he hath not. So think about what he's saying here, right? He's saying it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you do have, okay? It's about what you do have. Again, the Bible speaks, other than the tithe, the Bible speaks about offerings as well. But these offerings are not specific amounts. They're just whatever God would lay upon a person's heart, okay? And by the way, again, this is why he talks about this willingness first. And again, if you go back earlier, he talks about the churches of Macedonia. He said how they first gave themselves to the Lord, right? There's a willingness. There's a desire to be used of God. Even though they had literally nothing, there was a desire. There was a willingness to be used by God in whatever way they could. And God gave them that grace so that even, he says, they were able to give beyond what even to their own power. And so when he says here, there must first be that willing mind, and we are to give according to the man hath and not according to that he hath not. Okay? There was a willingness to be a part of the ministry. They wanted to have a part in what they were doing. And so Paul is saying, as the church of Corinth, they had a willingness at first, but they didn't go through with it. They didn't fulfill it. They said, yeah, we want to be a part of it, but then they never did anything with it. And by the way, here's the thing that Paul is saying. He never asked for a specific amount. Again, think about what he says here in verse number 10. Herein I give my advice, right? Paul is saying, look, there was no command that you had to give. There was no amount that was specified that you had to give. Paul didn't go around to every church and say, okay, you need to give this and you need to give this. He didn't go to each individual and say, you need to give this amount, you need to give this amount. No, it was not a church-specific thing. It was not an individual-specific thing. He said, you saw the need and you decided you wanted to be a part of it. You saw this need that these believers had. You saw that they were trying to get the gospel to people and you just wanted to be a part of it. There was a willingness. But he said the problem was the willingness stopped right there. You said we're going to do it, but you didn't do anything about it. You said we're going to have a part in it, but you didn't do anything about it, right? And here's the thing. Paul said, look, I didn't tell you what to give. In fact, he said, I'm not telling you to give what you don't have. You have each person has to decide what they're going to give out of what they have. I mean, do you really think the churches of Macedonia, who were in deep poverty, who were poor, being persecuted, do you think they were able to give things that they didn't have? Not a chance. They weren't giving what they didn't have. They were giving out of what they did have and just trusting God, right? And this is what he's saying. It's not about a specific amount, okay? What is important is that we have that willing heart to be used of God in giving what he wants us to give. It was what they were willing to give out of what they had. Think about it. Peter and John, they're going to the temple in early part of the book of Acts. They're going to the temple. There's a lame man there. And what does he say? He asks for alms. He's asking for what? Money. Right? He's asking for money, okay? Did Peter and John have any money? No. Peter says, we have no money. Silver and gold have we none. So they just walked on by, right? No. But they did have something they could give. They didn't have money, but God had given them something. And so he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now let me ask you a question. What do you think that man would have rather had from Peter, money or the ability to walk? I think it'd be the ability to walk. He'd been lame for years and years and years, never been able to take one step. And now, all of a sudden, now he's, do you think you're like, excuse me, hold on, I asked for money. I didn't ask to be healed. I didn't ask to walk. I asked for money. Please just, no. Peter said, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we're going to give you, right? And that man was healed that day. In the same manner, think about this. The little lad that had no money. He had no money. Jesus asked the disciples, how much money do we have to be able to feed all these people? The little lad said, I don't have any money, but I do have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, that's not money. Well, I know. It's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But he said, you can have it. You can have it. It's what I have. I have no money, but I have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And guess what? Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and fed over 15,000 people that day. 5,000 men plus women and children. I would say there's probably a lot of people out there that day. He didn't have money. The little boy didn't have money, but he gave what he had. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, it's about what you have, not about what you don't have. So many times we think, well, I can't give like somebody else maybe who has a lot. He's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to give what God wants you to do. You look at what you have and say, hey, this is what I have. Hey, I could be able to do this. And you know what? It may not be money at first. It may be a 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You say, hey, I don't have any money, but hey, here's a loaf of bread. To somebody that's hungry, a loaf of bread isn't kind of important. Right? To somebody that's traveling, how many of you travel and you don't? Some of you are going to lie. You shouldn't do that, right? But how many of you travel and you're like, I don't take snacks. I don't eat anything when I travel. I mean, I just don't do anything. I think most people, when they travel, they take snacks, right? I mean, they take snacks, and usually they take, like, a lot of snacks, okay? I mean, I've traveled with some of these teenagers before. I think literally they took the whole Kroger and put it in their backpack or something. I mean, like, they've got so much stuff, right? You don't think a loaf of bread would be important to somebody that's traveling? You see, we have this idea that it has to be a specific amount. It has to be something tangible, like money or something like that. But he said, wait, it's not about what you don't have. He said, give what you do have. I love in Uganda, whenever we take up an offering or something like that, you know, in Uganda, a lot of people don't have money. They don't have actual coin and paper money. So when we take up an offering, it's very interesting when you go up and use, and by the way, we take offering different, okay? You don't pass an offering plate. You have the offering baskets that would be up here kind of close to the front, and everybody sings a song, and while you're singing, you come and you put your offering in the offering basket. And there have been times when you know, you look down at the offering basket, and there's a kilo of beans, or there's 3 eggs, or laying on the floor is a chicken. You laugh, but it's true, right? They're a goat. You see, what do they do? They say, well, I don't have money, but what I do have, I can give. We have this concept, well, it has to be money and it has to be a certain amount. Paul said, no, it's all about the willingness to give. It's all about saying, God, look, you it's all yours. It all belongs to you, God, so whatever you want me to give, I'm willing to give. You want me to give a loaf of bread? You want me to give a dozen eggs? You want me to give, you know, you want me to give an oil change? Hey, I can change somebody's oil. What do I have that I can give to help meet someone else's need? That's what he's talking about. We have this, and of course, I understand Paul here is talking about that there is a financial aspect of it because he's going to be taking this offering to these believers. But when we look throughout Scripture, it's not always just money. It's what do I have that I can give? What do I have that you would have me to give for you? I remember when I came back to the States and with my family, and again, the church was going to take care of us, but we knew we were going to need 2 vehicles. And we had kids, and so, of course, you know, we bought a minivan and driving that back and forth, but we knew I was going to need another vehicle to be able to get to work and things. And there was a family in the church that said, you know, Pastor, we've been praying about what we could do, and we don't have a lot, but we just repaired this little Saturn, and if you'd take this Saturn, we'd like to give that to you. It wasn't money. It was a little Saturn. Stick shift. Loved it. It was awesome. Some of you in the church hated it. Jake, yeah. Some of you didn't like my car. But God gave me that car. And it was awesome. I loved it. My own family didn't even like it. But you know what? God, that couple said, hey, we don't have money, but we have a car we just kind of put back together and we could give that to you. You see, we have this idea, well, I've got to have money. He said, it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you do have. And we have this concept that unless I can give what somebody else is giving, no, that's not it. There has to be that willingness, right? He said, if there first be a willing mind. Hey, when you give to God, when you give everything to God, and God says, hey, this is what I want you to give. It could be money. It could be a loaf of bread. It could be a car. It could be tires. It could be an oil change. It could be whatever. That's what God is looking for. That willingness, not just saying something, not just saying, well, hey, yes, I love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, maybe there's a brother and sister in Christ that you've seen. Hey, their tires are wearing out. You know what? Let's go put some tires on their car. Or maybe you've seen, hey, you know, they're struggling. Let's fill their pantry or something. You know, we have the ability, we can say we love them, but he says, hey, why don't we actually put our feet to what we're actually saying? Don't just use words, do something about it. And this is what he's saying. You had promised to do this a year ago, but you haven't done it yet. And so he says, I'm encouraging you, put your words to action now. Do something about it. Have that willingness, have that willing heart to do it, right? Again, there was not a specific amount, right? And here's what he says here. Notice the third element, right? We've seen that giving proves our love, and we don't just say we're going to do something, but we do it. We need to act upon it. But notice the third element here in verse 13. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written, he hath gathered much, had nothing over, he that had gathered little, had no lack. What's he saying? There's going to be mutual care here. The church, the body of Christ, is working together, right? He's saying, hey, you're trying to help take care of these believers, this body of believers in Jerusalem, because man, they're hurting, they're in poverty, they're going through persecution, they need help. And he said, you know what? What's going to happen? There's going to be a time when maybe you're going to need help. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to help to meet your need. Here's what's really interesting. If you go to the book of Luke, Jesus says, the Bible talks about giving. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Man, we really like that, right? All right, Lord, I'm going to give. Now you give back to me, and maybe, man, you press it down, right? You shake it, you know. You ever done that before? You're trying to fit something in a bucket, and you pour it in, and you shake it, and you pour some more, and you shake it, and you press it down, and you shake it around, and try to get it all to settle, you know, and you pour it in, and you shake it down. My wife, she'll have me, like, fill the sugar. We have a sugar Tupperware thing, and I don't like anything left to be in the sugar bag. I just don't like it, you know? Maybe it's OCD or whatever, but I want to get every bit of that bag of sugar in that Tupperware thing, right? I'm going to do it, okay? I'm going to shake it. I'm going to pack it down. I'm going to shake it, and it's going to fit one way or the other, okay? And that's, we're like, all right, God, I'm going to give. And so that's how I want you to give back to me. Because that's what God said, right? Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? I mean, that's that. All right, God, I gave. Now that's supposed to come back to me. But watch what he says. How does this happen? He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Please understand, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel message here, right? But can I tell you something? If you want God to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, then you need to give, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We have this idea, well, I'll give God $5, and that means he should give me $50. Look, this is not a prosperity gospel, right? You heard this, oh, if you just send $100, God's going to give you $1 million, you know. No, that's not what God is saying. And notice he said, shall men give into your bosom? You know how God meets people's needs? Through other people. God uses other people to meet needs. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but when you had a need, money just didn't fall from heaven. Be nice. Be nice. But it doesn't happen, does it? You know what happens? Somebody helps to meet your need. God works in the heart of somebody else, or maybe a couple individuals or a single individual, whatever. God works in their heart, and they give to help meet your need. You may never even know who that person was, right? But God worked in somebody's heart, and they helped to meet your need. This is what Paul is saying here. There ought to be a mutual care here among believers, right? Hey, we're giving not just to get something out of it, right? We're not giving, all right, I gave God, now you got to give back to me. All right, I'm waiting. That's not a willingness to give. That's not the right heart in giving. But God says, hey, I do want you to know that when you give to help meet other people's needs, guess what? When they have an abundance, God's going to work in their heart to help meet your need. Just as like you have an abundance and God's going to work in your heart to meet somebody else's need. There's a mutual care that is here. You know, you think about it when we support missions. You know, most of our missionaries, they cannot work in the countries that they go to. They're not able to work, right? So how are they going to be able to do the work of a missionary? We give to help meet their needs, right? But what have we been doing? We've been supporting missionaries for years and years and years, right? And you know what? Praise the Lord. One day, soon, I'm thinking in the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have some missionaries being sent out of First Baptist Church, right? Now, we've been helping to support their missionaries. Now, what are our missionaries going to do? They're going to go around and they're going to try to raise support. And what are those churches going to do? They're going to try to help support our missionaries. What do you see? A mutual care. There's a mutual care there, right? And as we see other people in need, what can we do? We can try to help them. Because, hey, if we don't have the abundance and we have a need, God can work in their heart to help meet our need as well. And this is what Paul is saying. Look, he says, yeah, and even, by the way, the Philippian church and the church of Thessalonica and the Berean church, they didn't have a lot. They didn't have the abundance that the church of Corinth did, and yet they were still willing to give. You know what I love is to hear reports of our church in Uganda, which we started, started in 2004 or 5 or something, so it's like 20 years old, and they're supporting missionaries. Now, can I tell you this? It's not a huge amount. It may only be like $10 a month. But you know what? They don't have the abundance that we have. But yet, even though they don't have the abundance, even though they're making, many of them, I've told people this before, our radio station manager, and he has a pretty good job. He's our radio station manager. He makes about $150 a month. A month. And yet, they're willing to give to help support missionaries. They're willing to give to help to meet the needs of others. Can I say that most of us probably get a little bit more than $150 a month? Could we not say that we probably have a little bit more? We have a little bit more of abundance. And yet so many times we get so stingy with what God has blessed us with. Well, I'm not going to give. I don't have to give. I need it for myself. I've got this that I've got to do, and I've got this that I've got to do. Wait a minute. Do we have that willingness? Are we willing to show our love through giving? And this is what Paul is saying. This giving proves our love, and it shouldn't just be, well, I love people, and I want people to be saved. All right, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You're just going to talk, or is there going to be actually action put to it? And when we do, we get to see that mutual care that is being done through God's people, seeing God's work being done. And here, man, we have this report of these amazing churches in Macedonia that God had given the grace of giving. And here this church of Corinth, who had an abundance, not so much, wasn't willing to give, had promised it a year ago, still hadn't done it. Paul says, hey, this is showing your love. This shows that you're more concerned about your things than you are the things of God. You're more concerned about you than you are others. And it ought to be the reverse as a Christian. We ought to be concerned more about the things of God and more concerned about others and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. What will we do to help meet others' needs? This is that idea of grace giving, right? Again, we're not talking about a specific amount. No, he says, not according to a man that he has, but what he, or that he doesn't have, but what he does have. Whatever God is to do in our heart, we have to be willing to say, all right, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do. and I'm willing to do it. Why? Because it's not for us. It's for his glory. It's for his work. It's so that other people can come to know Jesus Christ. Because again, you think about it. He was rich. He was rich, became poor for your sakes, that we might be made rich. And all we're doing is trying to give so that somebody else can be rich, not physically, not monetarily, but that they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that they can know what Jesus Christ has done for them, and they can have that gift of eternal life. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, just in this area of giving, these elements that you've shown us here, Lord, we could, maybe we do need to do a heart check and just see where our giving is. Because truly, our giving does show where our heart is. We're willing to give and to buy things for ourselves and the abundance that we have, and yet so often we're unwilling to give for the things of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to have that grace of giving. Lord, we're not the wealthiest church, I know that. But Lord, I pray that we would have that willingness to give, that willingness to put you first and to love you, and so that when you lay it upon our heart to give, that we would be willing to do whatever you'd have us to do, to try to help meet the needs of others so they can hear about Jesus Christ, or if we see a need of a brother or sister in Christ, to try to help to meet those needs. But Lord, we've got to put you first in our life. And so many times when it comes to finances, when it comes to money, Lord, you're not first. Everything else comes first, and we just kind of squeeze you in at the end if there's something left over. And Lord, that's not the way you want us to live. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to examine our hearts this morning. Lord, that we would truly put you first in our life. And Lord, that we would have that desire to give as you were willing to give your Son for us, so that we could know Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that we could be made rich. Lord, would you help us in this thing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. No one looking around by the piano plays. Maybe there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Maybe you need to come, or right there in your chair, say, Lord, would you help me in this? Maybe you've been focused on the financial aspect and haven't realized that it's not about what I don't have, it's what about I do have. What do I have that I can use for God's glory? What does God bless me with that I could give back to him and use to help other people come to know Jesus as their Savior? Is there a willingness? Or have we just kind of shut it all off? We're like, nope, it's mine. It's mine. I'm going to do what I want to with it. Friend, if you think about it, if you're saved, it's not yours. It's his. Because you belong to him. Would we be willing to trust him, to prove our love by giving when he asks us to give, as he did for us? Friend, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you're uncertain where you would spend eternity, we'd love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. To know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins, and that you could have eternal life with him. We'd love to take God's word and show you how you can be saved. Christian, what's our heart in the area of giving? Whenever we hear giving or money talked about, do we just automatically withdraw? Or are we going to say, Lord, hey, it's yours anyway. You show me what to do and I'll do it. Show me a person in need. I'll try to help meet that need. Out of what I have, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in this. When we think about what you have done for us, you were willing to become poor so that we could be rich. Lord, there's no way we could ever repay what you've done for us. But Lord, we can put you first in our life. We can surrender all that we have to you. Let you use it for your honor and your glory. May we have that willingness, that willing heart to do what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.